little girls usually love horses. They want a pony at some point. They read Black Beauty or whatever other horse books are out there. They have like miniature horse figurines with like miniature saddles and whatever other miniature paraphernalia might go along with their horse collection. And I was not that girl. I just didn't really care about horses. It's not that I'm anti-horse, it's just that they make me lukewarm. But my brother loved horses, my little brother. And he loved horses primarily because they are what cowboys ride. And Ryan always wanted to be a cowboy. Well, always when he was three, wanted to be a cowboy. And he would dress up as a cowboy. He would have his little red bandana and he would have his cowboy hat. He had one of those Western shirts that snaps up and has those little pointy pockets. And he'd wear his jeans and he'd wear his cowboy boots and he'd wear his little six shooter belt with his little cap pistols in it. It's so cute. Exactly as cute as you would think a 3-year-old pretending to be a cowboy could possibly be. And our imaginary friends played true to type. I had two, they were both men. Prince Tuesday and Jonathan. Prince Tuesday, because I had sort of a puppet crush on Prince Tuesday from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And Jonathan, because Jonathan without an H, because I have always had such a weakness for that name. Like, I don't know what it is, I just think it's sexy. And I actually dated Jonathan without a J once, and it was not sexy. But I still always held out hope for that name, even when I was little. And my brother's imaginary friends were also men, but their names were Marshall and Sheriff. And I can only assume that they existed for the purpose of helping him to adequately police the Old West. And we lived in Albuquerque, so we were actually in the not-so-old West, so that was appropriate. So when Ryan turned 4, what he wanted to do more than anything was go horseback riding. We had never gone horseback riding, either one of us. And so my parents took us to a riding stable off of Tramway in Albuquerque. And Tramway is the main thoroughfare on the east side of the city, and it goes all the way from the southeast corner of the city, I'm sorry, from the northeast corner of the city to the southeast corner of the city. And on the far southeast corner is the tram itself, the actual aerial tramway that goes up the Sandia Mountains, and is what tram is named for, and the tramway is named for. And nowadays, the city it has expanded enough that it goes across, you know, it's runs the width of Tramway and beyond. But in these days, in the late 70s or maybe 80, 81, the city was obviously smaller. And so the edge of the city happened long, long before you got to the end of Tramway, to the tram itself. And then there was just this swath of nothingness in between, just desert. And this road, which at that point was a 2-lane road that far out, and it acted more like a highway. At that point, there was a very high speed limit that cars just completely ignored. There were lots of cars, lots of trucks, and there was absolutely nothing in between the street itself and the landscape surrounding it. There was no barrier. So my parents took us out to the riding stables, and we got to meet our horses. And my brother was 4, as I said, and he was a typically sized kid. He was about 40 pounds. And I was 7, and I was also about 40 pounds. So if you can picture, those of you who know my daughter Erin, if you can picture someone who's about 6 inches taller than that and weighs less, that was me. I was too slight to be any good to anybody. But they had determined that I was old enough at least to ride my own horse. So my brother was not. So Ryan was going to be in the front of my dad's horse. And that horse would lead the pack. And then I was going to come next on my own horse. And then my mother was going to follow up on her own horse. So I was going to be flanked by both parents. So no harm could come to me. So I met my horse, and her name was Lily. And because she was pure white. And Lily the horse was so beautiful. And even I could tell that she was beautiful, and I do not know from horses. But she was gorgeous. And she was also guaranteed to be the right horse for a kid, you know, a small girl who'd never done this before, because she was docile and she'd never done anything inappropriate in her life, and she knew to follow the lead horse and everything. So they put us all on our horses, and this was a non-litigious time, I guess, in our country. I don't believe we signed any paperwork or anything. And the guide told us which trail to take up the mountain and, you know, to like watch out for snakes. And then that was pretty much it. So we head off. And I should say here that my father, I always describe my dad as being omnicompetent. He can do anything, and he knows it, and he's right. And he, you know, had ridden a horse before, and so if any of us knew what we were doing on a horse, it was probably my dad. But he had my brother in front of him. My mother always has a tendency to downplay her skill set. So even though she'd ridden a horse also, she certainly didn't consider herself comfortable on a horse or a horsewoman at all. But the thing is, my mom is the one who can keep her head in a crisis. So to recap, my father's leading, he knows what he's doing, he can't keep his head in a crisis, and my mother is following, and she doesn't know what she's doing, but she would be okay in case something really bad happened, like if there was a family emergency. So we're on our horses, and we're heading up the hill, and we're walking the horses, because we're not, none of us are skilled enough to go faster than that, like a trot, or a canter. Or a gallop, we can't do any of that. So we're walking along, and after we're way far up the mountain, Lily turns her head around and looks back at Tramway, at the stables. And I tried to pull her back around, but I couldn't do it because I just wasn't strong enough to turn her head with the reins. And then she starts to walk away from the other two horses, and then she speeds up, and then she's running at a dead gallop towards Tramway with all the cars just going back and forth like this. And my parents just collectively absolutely failed and panicked because my dad, who's the one who could theoretically have chased after me, had my brother with him and was also in full panic mode. And my mother, who theoretically could have figured out what to do at this point, did not consider herself qualified to chase after me. So instead they took a picture. So we have a picture from that day. I actually asked my mom to go back and look at it just to verify that and she was like, yep, no, there it is. So Lily's running with me, and we all know that I'm obviously dead. I know I'm dead. My parents know I'm dead. And Lily is obviously on a suicide mission. She's broken. And she's just going as fast as she can. And I can't stop her. I wasn't even strong enough to turn her head. I'm certainly not strong enough to send any sort of a signal with the reins. And I'm screaming, whoa, Lily! And she's not paying any attention to me because I have no authority in my voice whatsoever. And somehow I'm managing to stay on, which I give myself props for. I'd read enough books to know you were supposed to like clench the saddle with your thighs, so I'm totally holding on as tightly as I can. And it doesn't really matter because I'm going to be dead because we're going straight into traffic and there's like semis. And she goes along and she stops short, like just several feet before Tramway, before the road. And then she turns around and she just saunters on back to the riding stables. And the people at the riding stables did not consider this to be any sort of odd behavior at all. They said she must have gotten hungry and just decided to come back. And my parents were mellow and, as I said, non-litigious, so nothing happened. They didn't make an issue out of it. My mom managed to eventually walk her horse back and got off and stayed with me while my father and my brother got to have their horse riding birthday adventure together. And you'd think that this would have caused some sort of phobia for me, but it didn't. I still don't adore horses, but I've totally been on other horses. I'm now big enough to tell a horse what to do with my body and with my voice, and I'm in control of the situation. But I have to this day never ridden another pure white horse, and I have to say I don't think I really want to.